Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
So, cocktails are having a moment, whether it's the heady combination of old world glamour or an appreciation of craft cocktails have become the drink of choice for many, and the craft cocktail business and the bars that make and sell them are thriving. In studio today, we have three. I'm delighted to introduce you to Dave Mulligan. He's from Bar 1661. Darren Geraghty is the bar manager and mixologist at Hawksmore down there on Dame Street. And also joining us is Pat Thomas from the Blind Pig Speakeasy even. And I believe that's in Glendine Lane off Wicklow Street. Would that be right, Pat?
So that would be the Little Pig Speakeasy off Glendenning Lane and the Blind Pig Speakeasy off Suffolk Street.
So okay, so two
bars in the business. Yeah.
Okay, right. Well, we might start with you, Pat, in terms of your business. Just maybe tell us a little about it. How did it come about? What do you actually do?
Well, what do? We make drinks.
Yeah.
I think that's why we're here. That's why we're here this morning or today. So the concept of the two bars is that they're, would follow what you might describe as speakeasy culture. So speakeasy culture would be a hidden bar within a restaurant or hotel.
Right.
I think we're all, some of us anyway would be familiar, a certain generation would be familiar with, Moe's pet shop on The Simpsons, i.e. a bar that's masquerading as something else, and you rock in and you've a password or a hidden entrance, and then you pop in. Usually there'd be some sort of entertainment, so live music or food, etc. And then, again, back in the day in Prohibition in America, it would have been usually imported spirits.
Yeah.
Generally, a blind pig would be like a hidden room within a restaurant or hotel, and be imported spirits and like luxury spirits. An old fashioned bartender making concoctions.
It wasn't a guard throwing a blind eye to us.
The police would throw a blind eye, and then that was a blind pig, and then you'd have a blind tiger, which would be somewhere where you'd get a bottle of hooch. So you'd go and you get your bottle of bathtub gin or whatever else would be in a place called a Blind Tiger. That'd usually be, you know, it might be a somebody selling something at the window of a basement or whatever else.
It's a wonderful concept around the nostalgia of Prohibition and
exactly,
all that.
Yeah,
we'll come back to it in a bit more detail when we talk to our next guest. Dave Mulligan is also with us. Bar 1661, Dave, I was over there, I don't know when it was, maybe a couple of years ago. We had a chat. It's a great place.
Hey,
and you have a great business. Tell our listeners about it.
Yeah, so we're Bar 1661, and I guess we're Potchin guys before cocktails, you know. We're named after the year Potchin was banned, and everything we do is there to celebrate our native spirit and other unique Irish kind of statements of origin. So all our cocktails will have an Irish spirit base. Pretty much the majority of it is Irish Potchin and Irish whiskey, but we're there to change maybe misconceptions about what these spirits can be and how many different styles of cocktails they can take.
Okay, and without sounding, I suppose, glib, who are your customers? Because it strikes me you're doing something slightly different, and I'm just wondering, like, who goes there?
I mean, the majority of ours would probably be 28 to, say, 50.
Yeah.
You know? A lot of couples, a lot of foursomes out for pre, post-dinner, and then we've just done so, so well off the tourists because I think because we're so focused on Irish spirits, you know, the Americans really want to see that. People visiting the city really want to see that. And then we're very lucky that not just my other bars in the city send them down to us, but all the distilleries, hotels, everything.
Great.
We they know we can deliver, so we get a great reception.
Good job. Well, great. Okay. Our next guest who's waiting patiently to talk cocktails is the bar manager and mixologist at Hawksmore, a wonderful institution on Dame Street. Darren Geraghty, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much. So Hawksmore is probably one of the best steakhouses in the world. So we have several locations in London. We have Edinburgh, Manchester, Liverpool, New York and Chicago. And Dublin was the second to last iteration of the brand. So bringing steak and wonderful service to our first shores. So we're based on Dame Street in the building of the National Bank.
Know it well.
So Abercrombie Fitch, if anyone remember. So an amazing building. And I think it was an awful waste to be a bloody shop.
Yeah.
It's this amazing space that you can sit and have amazing cocktails in a building that was started in 1835.
And it's interesting as well, and I've been a fan of Hawksmoor for decades. I remember going to the first one in Spitfields, must have been over 20 years ago. And I was really delighted to see you come to Dublin. But where does the cocktail sit in the overall offer at Hawksmoor?
So imagine you go out one day and you're going to say you're going to create the most amazing steak in the world, and you want to have cocktails that are on the exact same level. So when our offering is put to the guests, the cocktails are as good equally to the food. So
yeah.
We strive to have the best drinks you can possibly have in a restaurant or a bar setting, because the food is amazing. We want everything to be on par. You don't want a lot of institutions, what they do is they go, the food's amazing, cocktails are kind of an afterthought.
Yeah.
Cocktails are amazing, food's an afterthought. But at Hawksmoor, we go all in. It's like, everything has to be of equal standing.
And it really is the concept of the pre-dinner drink. You go and you have a cocktail, maybe.
You have to imagine the steakhouses of New York in the time of when people were quaffing martinis and prohibition with Pat Speakeasy, and kind of when Putin would have been in vogue in the many kind of little hidden pet shop bars, and steakhouses would have been like people would have been quaffing martinis and old fashions and whiskey sours. So still to this day, in our setting, in the beautiful National Bank building, people are quaffing martinis, which is, people find odd that we sell so many in Dublin, but like people come far and wide just to have them.
No, I'm not even slightly surprised. Back to you, Pat. And again, I'm kind of fascinated by the speakeasy concept, even though I'm not somebody who uses them on a regular basis, but maybe I should start. But the idea of that throwback in time, mm-hmm. you mentioned there about the secrecy, the trying to find the hidden away, the tradition, I suppose, when you look at of Prohibition, is around maybe traditional cocktails such as Manhattans, martinis, that Darren was talking about there. Is that the kind of mainstay of your business?
That would be about 50% of our business.
Would it be?
I'm sure the two boys are aware. You get the person who walks in and goes, oh, I want, you know, fruity and fizzy, and I want something in the colour pink and whatever else. And you're like, well, tell me what fruit is pink. Describe that in nature, you know. But I'd say about, of our actual written menu on the table, I'd say about 70% of it is what you describe as pre-prohibition beverages.
Right.
The two boys here will know what I mean by that. So you're looking at old fashions, Sazeracs, martinis, Manhattans, Negronis, so on. So you're very, very, your spirit forward beverages. As one of the things that we enjoy about the two speakeasies is that they'd be a celebration of spirit forward beverages.
Right.
So it isn't, you know, blend of daiquiris and pina coladas and X, Y, and Z. It is your old school stirred for liquor forward beverages.
Have we changed how we drink as a nation? If we look at what you have on offer, the younger folk of today, the people that Dave mentioned there, the sort of 30s to 40s, mm-hmm. Are they predominantly the cocktail drinking market?
Pretty much, because they'd be the person with the disposable income, that and the tourist.
Yeah.
You know, the 18 to 26, 28-year-old is probably not the person who has the disposable income to, you know, go out on a Saturday night and go, do you know what, I'm going to drop 100 quid, 150 quid on a mixed drink experience before they go on to dinner or X, Y, Z, you know? But your tourist, your person in their 30s, 40s, 50s is the person who's going to have that.
And would I be right in saying, well, they're probably double the price on average of a pint, if a pint is now €7, would an average cocktail be 14?
That is a thing that we do, you know, you do have that moment, especially with that. Again, there's the middle-aged Irish consumer who goes, ah, yeah, but it's not a pint. And you're like, well, you know, what is a pint? A pint is, how many bars are there in Dublin at the moment? 1,100 and something. And, I mean, there's the three of us here today, and there's, what, seven or eight other places that do what it is that we do. So, you know, it's a case of, you know, there is, I mean, there was a couple of weeks ago, there was a person who rang up, and she was very, very keen to come in and have a couple of drinks, and we don't serve a pint of the black stuff. We have craft stout on bottle and whatever else. And they didn't have their booking because he turned around and said,
But I actually think it's wonderful that you differentiate.
But that's on the basis of your feel between the three of us here. Yeah, that we are a complete alternative.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. Above
or to the lounge situation as well, which is another thing.
But also, is it not true that maybe that, and again, not just be to sort of homogenise it, but the typical drinker of today might have two cocktails, or you know, like you're not going out to have.
You might have four. You're probably not going on a session in any of our bars.
Yeah.
Because again, you sit down and you have, you know, 7 or 8 pints of stout. You go, oh, that's lovely. And you stumble on home. You have 7 or 8 old fashions. You're going to be in one hell of a state, you know. You've consumed a bottle of spirits for that stage.
Well, back to you, Dave. And again, I have to say, I do enjoy the odd cocktail, but I only ever have one of them. That's one of my rules that I like one at the sundown or whatever. It's lovely to have a drink like that. But they are strong, aren't they?
They are strong, but it depends on the drink, you know. Just to counter what you've been talking about, we've actually just launched a new tasting experience. So you can come up and try all 28 drinks from our new menu in mini format. And I guess this is to kind of rival like a Michelin star tasting menu. We've got a PDR, a private drinking room, we call it, just 10 guests at a time. And then, yeah, it's a 3-hour experience and you're going to try everything, every spirit we have, every cocktail we have, 28 drinks total.
Wow, and how do you, in terms of what's the measure? If you're going to be having 28 of them, I didn't want to be pretty small.
They're small enough, mini glasses, mini ice cubes, mini garnishes, the whole lot. But there's a lot of liquor in the room. You're not encouraged to finish it all, but to taste it all, you know.
Wow.
It keeps moving. It moves every 5 minutes with another drink. So it clears every time and resets,
okay.
You know.
And Darren, back to you. In terms of, we've heard it widely publicised around the availability of good staff, the availability of trying to attract staff, trying to keep staff. How do you train your staff, and how do you attract and keep them?
So I suppose being working for a group that's established themselves over the last couple of decades. They went out with a very kind of, you know, we want to get good people. And one of the things we live by and work by is work hard, be nice. And
yeah.
That's how we hire. We like go out looking for good people, nice people. Skills and practices we can teach. So like I have 24 years experience. So I can give you any knowledge I have, but I can't teach people how to be passionate, how to be customer-focused, guest-focused, how to be good.
So if somebody comes into you with the right attitude and is willing to learn and willing to graft...
We'll nurture that.
That's your person.
We're all over that because Dublin and Ireland is full of great people. The Irish are known for our hospitality. People go far and wide to come and experience welcoming, happy eyes. People going, welcome at the door, seated. From the start of your experience to the end of your experience, it's the highs and boys. It's all those things that we strive to kind of at every moment in Hawksmoor is what we want to instill into our guests. And people come for that. Get our staff come far and wide because we have amazing ability to give you great training. We look after the staff really well, and they get great benefit from being able to
give
excellent service.
Pat, am I right in saying that you take maybe a slightly different approach in that do you look for skilled people to come and join you rather than training people who don't have any experience?
I would have to disagree with you there. It's not a case of that it's exactly what Darren said there that we're looking for, and I think Dave will agree as well, is that we're looking for people that have passion and that are willing to learn.
Right.
That, again, you're looking for that person who has that little bit of panache that can engage with the customer. Because all of those skills can be taught.
Yeah.
Every single thing that we do can be taught. I can teach you anything you want to know about whiskey and so on. But it's if you aren't willing to look a guest in the eye and welcome, greet, sit and be seated, the boys, I'm sure, will agree. It's that person who's there for that passion in the moment.
So
in the case of, I would say that because what it is that we do is very, very different to... It is a different skill set, and it's a different style of product that usually the person... who's looking to work in the place generally comes to you.
Sure.
Rather than you kind of going, I need somebody to work here.
And would I be right in saying, that was kind of my point, was that the available pool of qualified people, of people with the mixology skills, is probably a small enough, it's a small enough band.
It's fairly niche, all right.
Yeah.
But again, it's stuff that can be taught. All I need you to be able to do is to engage with a guest, be willing to learn, and be fast. And after that, then
I like to be fast, but that's about making money. Yeah.
It's gas. Like when I started in the industry in around 2000, the pool was tiny. There was a handful of people. Like, I mean, a handful of people.
Yeah.
And people went to bars for individuals. But now, because people are seeing the success that bartenders, operators, managers are having, cocktails are very kind of attractive in the fact that it's a skill set. If you master it and you're good at it, you can do very well in Ireland.
Yeah.
Because it's not like London. It's not like New York. It's not like you're battling 3,500 people in a small area. In Dublin, you're going to Luke's of Dave, you're going to where Pat is, myself, a few other handful of people, that you will learn and you will do really well if that's what you want to do.
And it's probably, Dave, like being a good barista or being, that if you can hone your craft and get very good at being a cocktail maker, you can probably work anywhere, can you, in terms of travel?
For sure. Yeah, there's amazing opportunities to travel. We're really lucky as a bar. We travel every 6 or 8 weeks. You know, we've been all over the world. We've been in the States 4 times this year. We've been to the Far East, in Scandinavia, yeah.
And you're looking at, when you go on those trips, you're going with your eyes and your mind open, yeah?
Oh, big time. We go to definitely new cities. We go to as many cocktail bars as possible, cocktailing, and just see what the scene is like. But really, we're just lucky to work with these amazing Irish brands who are, you know, spending, investing in America, and they see the value of bringing an Irish specialist bar like ours and making drinks from them over there. Might sound mad to some of the listeners, but yeah, they just bring us over to make the drinks and...
That sounds great.
It is one of those things. This industry has put more passport stamps on my passport than I think anybody has.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where you're like sitting in an office going, well, what are you doing today? Ah, off to Denmark to do this, or off to New York to do that, or whatever else. And you're like, you work in a bar, yeah? But yeah, actually, yeah, I do. It's great, cracked.
and the influence of the industry or of the trade, it certainly seems to come from America. Would that be fair to say?
Well, depends where you want to go in your history on this. Technically, the first written situation of the cocktail comes from what would have been effectively a pub, a tavern, on what is now Downing Street in London, and it was a mixture of champagne and ginger wine, I believe, depends who you talk to. But the actual, as in cocktail and a thing, was described as the first, was cocktails and jazz being the two contributions America made to popular culture. So if that's...
we'll take that.
I think now it's so global, though. You know, every major city, every minor city, yeah, that you see this flourishing, it's being led by the consumer, the people on the street are seeking it out, and different experiences, unique offerings, drink less, but maybe drink better, you know. But I see a lot more coming out of Asia now. London's still on fire. Barcelona, yep, amazing cities in Europe, really, really thriving, yeah, culture that they nurture each other.
Yeah. That's a very good point. It's a case of to drink less, but to drink higher quality,
yeah,
or different experience. It's no longer, you know, 17 pints of lager.
Absolutely. Thursday, you know? And maybe last word to you, Darren, but I would suggest that what you guys are doing here collectively is hugely important to revitalising the city centre.
Yeah, like cocktail culture and cocktail tourism, like, so when people travel the world for food, Ireland, Dublin, we have created and we are building and we're constantly feeding the fire of creativity that makes us, like, what we're doing, pushing the boundaries of what people know as cocktails. We're using spirits that are from our heritage. We're using locally produced stuff. We're using stuff that grows wild in Ireland.
It's great.
We're just passionate about it. Same with our food culture. And it's very much, you see people coming to have good drinks. And we're standing with the big boys. We're like, when I say big boys, New York and Asia and London, these are the three big where people go to have amazing, amazing drinks. Dublin, is on par. We're shoulder to shoulder. Like, with the rugby team as well, we're out there, like, telling the people what we can do. We're doing the exact same on the thing on the bar scale.
Well, I often say it, but you're all three great ambassadors for your trade, so keep doing what you're doing. Dave Mulligan from Bar 1661, Darren Garrity from Hawksmoor, and Pat Thomas from the Blind Pig Speakeasies. Thank you so much for joining us and letting us into your world today.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.